Welcome back. In this lesson, we're exploring responsible online conduct, reporting, and digital accountability. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
It's so great to be here. And, you know, I want to welcome you, the listener, to this deep dive. Right off the bat, I want to frame this for you because this is so incredibly important for university students and young professionals.
Yeah, especially since everyone is preparing for, well, a heavily digitally enabled future.
Exactly. And I really want you to view this not as some, you know, boring lecture on digital rules or corporate policies.
Right. No one wants to listen to a rule book.
No, definitely not. Think of this more as a masterclass. It's about how to navigate and actually shape the digital environments that you're going to rely on for your entire career.
That's a great way to put it because, I mean, the stakes are just incredibly high right now. But at the same time, the barrier to making a massive mistake is basically non-existent.
Oh, absolutely. It takes, what, maybe a fraction of a second to hit send on a message?
Yeah, literally a tap of a finger. And I always think about this analogy of a digital ripple effect.
I love that analogy. Walk us through it.
So if you imagine you're standing at the edge of this perfectly calm pond, right, and an irresponsible online behavior, whether that's a harsh joke in a team channel or sharing some sensational link without verifying it, it's basically like tossing a rock into that water.
Right. And the physical action of throwing that rock is so disproportionate to the actual outcome.
Exactly. You drop a stone, the splash is tiny, but then the ripples just keep expanding outward.
They hit every single edge of the shoreline. And in a digital context, you know, those ripples are reputational harm. They're escalating conflicts,
yeah,
or just a total breakdown of community trust.
Which brings us to this core concept of digital accountability, because those ripples don't just fade away.
No, they really don't. Digital accountability is essentially the reality that you are permanently tethered to your online actions. The internet, unfortunately, does not experience memory loss.
And why is that tether so unbreakable? I mean, we tend to think of our digital conversations as ephemeral, especially when we're using like fast-moving chat apps.
Right, like Slack or Discord. It feels like the messages just disappear up the screen.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind. But they really aren't, are they?
Not at all. And it's because of the underlying mechanics of the web. I mean, everything from server backups to data scraping, it all ensures that your data persists.
And algorithms play a huge part in that too, right?
Oh, massive.
Mm-hmm.
Algorithms are specifically designed to index and amplify content that provokes a strong emotional reaction. So, you know, your most controversial or thoughtless digital moments are often the ones that become the most visible.
Wow. So you really cannot separate the quote unquote digital you from the real you.
You can't. The data infrastructure simply won't let you. A quick emotional reaction in a professional forum doesn't just fade into some dusty archive.
It actually becomes part of the permanent data set that defines your professional identity.
Exactly. But, you know, the inverse of that has to be true as well.
Right. If you intentionally throw the right kind of rocks into the pond.
Yes. If you prioritize responsible conduct, you are actively engineering a safe harbor in a very, very noisy digital environment.
And that builds trust.
Trust is essentially the currency of the modern workplace. The professionals who consistently demonstrate ethical participation, they're the ones who get invited onto the high-stakes projects.
Because they don't introduce unnecessary drama or volatility into the workflow.
Spot on. People just want to collaborate with them.
So that brings us to, well, how we actually execute this on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to understand the theory, but practicing ethical participation is another.
It really is. And the core strategies are communicating respectfully, practicing empathy, and crucially, verifying information before sharing it. Okay, I actually have to push back on you here, just realistically on behalf of the listener.
Get your report.
It is so easy to sit here and say, you know, verify before sharing. But when you're moving incredibly fast, say you're in a high-stress digital workspace or you're managing a super demanding university project, isn't double-checking everything practically impossible?
I completely validate that. The tension between velocity and accuracy is probably the defining challenge of modern knowledge work.
Right, because my manager might need a critical statistic right this second. The team is rushing for a deadline. Stopping to cross-reference every single link just feels like a bottleneck.
It does. And honestly, the sheer volume of information we process makes deep academic research on every single email forward impossible.
So what's the solution then? If we can't research everything...
The solution isn't to grind your workflow to a halt. The solution is to introduce what I like to call a mental speed bump.
A mental speed bump. I like that.
Yeah.
Because a physical speed bump doesn't force you to put the car in park.
Exactly. It just disrupts your momentum enough to make you actually pay attention to the intersection.
So how does that work in a digital environment?
It's basically a habit of pausing for just 3 seconds before you escalate a situation or share something. You see, our brains are hardwired for hyperarousal in digital spaces.
Oh, definitely. The glowing screens, the notification badges.
The infinite scroll. It all stimulates the amygdala, which pushes us toward rapid emotional reactions instead of logical processing.
Which is exactly why it feels so intensely satisfying to fire off a defensive reply when someone critiques your work in a public channel.
Yes. Your brain is literally treating a text notification like a physical threat.
Wow. Okay. So overriding that reflex takes deliberate practice.
It does. Before you forward that inflammatory email, or before you drop a panicked article into a project channel, you initiate that 3-second pause.
I just stop and ask, is this accurate?
Right. Is this helpful? Does this need to be shared right this exact second?
And taking those 3 seconds disrupts the amygdala response.
Exactly. It's a mental speed bump that ultimately saves you hours of conflict resolution and HR mediation later on.
So it's basically risk management at the micro level. But, you know, managing your own reflexes is really only half the battle.
Hey, mean.
Well, how does this scale when you're collaborating with others in a future workplace? Because if one person has great mental speed bumps, but the rest of the team is acting purely on impulse,
the environment still becomes toxic.
Yeah.
That's a huge challenge.
Right. So how do we handle that?
Well, let's look at the real-world case study from our lesson.
Yeah.
There was a student group that was really struggling with their digital collaboration.
Oh, yeah. Things were getting pretty tense in their group chats, right?
Super tense. But they vastly improved their dynamic by doing something incredibly proactive. They established clear online communication guidelines and reporting procedures for harmful behavior.
So they didn't just assume everyone shared the same definition of professional behavior.
Exactly. They set the rules early. Now, if we translate that student scenario into a realistic future workplace equivalent, the parallels are pretty striking.
I can imagine. Let's say you have a hybrid team spread across London, New York, and Tokyo.
Perfect example. Mm-hmm. You have people communicating asynchronously across entirely different time zones.
And without vocal tone or facial expressions, the potential for misunderstanding is just massive.
It really is. Asynchronous communication is highly vulnerable to something called negativity bias.
Negativity bias.
Yeah, so when the human brain reads ambiguous text, it naturally defaults to a defensive posture.
Oh, like if your manager replies to your detailed 5-page proposal with a single word, like, fine.
Yes, you might interpret that as passive-aggressive anger or that you're about to be fired.
When really your manager just meant they approved it and were sprinting to catch a train.
Exactly. But if that negativity bias is left unchecked, it slowly erodes the entire team's trust. The void left by the lack of physical cues gets filled with assumed hostility.
So wait. Does this mean it's not just about reacting to bad behavior? It's about actively engineering a culture of good behavior from the very start?
That is exactly what it means. Culture in a remote team isn't built in a physical break room anymore. It is built in the text channels and the video calls.
By explicitly setting those communication standards early on, you remove all that ambiguity.
You provide the architectural support for a safe environment.
Okay, but what happens when proactive culture building fails? Because no system is perfect.
True.
Eventually, you're going to actually encounter suspicious behavior, malicious links, or genuinely harmful actions in your digital workspace.
And that brings us to the core concept of responsible reporting, which I know can be a really uncomfortable topic.
Oh, it carries a ton of professional friction for young professionals. Nobody wants to be the person who flags an HR violation or reports a colleague.
Right. It feels messy. It feels like you're tattling or unnecessarily policing the space.
Exactly. But I like to reframe reporting for the listener here. Compare reporting harmful digital behavior to reporting a massive pothole in your neighborhood.
Oh, I like where this is going.
Right. If you drive over a massive pothole that nearly rips the wheel off your car and you call the city to flag it, you aren't tattling on the asphalt.
No, you're not launching a personal vendetta against the road.
Exactly. You're taking responsibility for maintaining the community infrastructure that everyone relies on to travel safely.
That is a brilliant analogy. The digital equivalent of that pothole could be a phishing scam circulating in internal emails or a deeply abusive comment thread.
And left alone, that pothole just gets wider and deeper until the whole road is compromised.
Exactly. Everyone relies on that digital infrastructure to do their jobs. So reporting is simply routine maintenance. It's an ethical imperative.
And practically speaking, the major tech platforms have realized that if reporting the pothole requires navigating a labyrinth of menus, people just won't do it.
Friction is the enemy of reporting, which is why we now have tools like the Google Safety Center, Microsoft Family Safety, and the Discord Safety Center.
They're actively working to reduce the cognitive load it takes to report bad behavior.
Right. They offer transparent procedures so you know exactly what happens when you flag an issue. And knowing how to utilize those specific tools is a tangible professional skill.
Definitely. But relying on those safety centers really only handles the extremes, right? The obvious scams or clear policy violations.
Yeah, black and white issues.
So how do you handle the gray areas? How can you proactively build your own framework to prevent issues and interact safely on a daily basis?
Well, this ties perfectly into the practical application activity from the lesson. The most effective strategy is to mentally develop your own personal, responsible online conduct guide.
Like a personal digital manifesto.
Exactly. When you define your boundaries in advance, you drastically reduce the decision fatigue required to navigate ethically ambiguous situations in real time.
That makes navigating the digital workplace much less stressful because you already know where your boundaries are.
Precisely. If a colleague shares a client's private email in a public Slack channel, you don't have to sit there paralyzed. Your personal guide already dictates your stance, so the decision to speak up is already made.
So what does this guide actually look like? What needs to be in it?
There are four key pillars this guide must include. The first pillar is your communication standards.
So defining how you present yourself.
Right. Will you commit to separating your personal social media from your professional communication? Will you set boundaries around what hours you send non-urgent messages?
To respect your colleagues' time off, that's huge for preventing burnout.
It really is. Now, the second pillar involves your reporting procedures.
Identifying your personal threshold for what you will and won't tolerate.
Exactly. What specific behaviors, whether it's disguised harassment or sharing unverified data, will you absolutely not accept? Once you define those, you establish the exact steps you'll take to report them.
Makes total sense. What's the third pillar?
Privacy expectations. This is arguably the most critical pillar in a data-driven economy. How will you handle the sensitive information entrusted to you?
What's your standard for respecting the digital privacy of your peers and clients?
Right. A professional who fundamentally respects privacy is an invaluable asset. And finally, the fourth pillar is respectful interaction principles.
Ah, this is where empathy and those mental speed bumps come back into play.
You got it. It's the conscious decision to critique ideas rather than attacking the people presenting them.
And the commitment to verify that sensational headline before you share it with the whole team.
When you build this framework around communication, reporting, privacy, and respect, you are truly future-proofing your digital identity.
Because the platforms will inevitably evolve, right? The software we use today might be completely obsolete in 5 years.
Exactly. But the core principles of digital accountability, those are platform agnostic.
They translate to whatever environment you find yourself in.
They absolutely do. We've mapped out a massive shift in perspective today, moving from just worrying about digital permanence to actively engineering workplace culture.
And the overarching takeaway here is that digital actions have lasting consequences, and professionalism matters just as much online as it does in person.
It really does. Our goal is for you to approach your digital life not with anxiety, but with digital confidence, adaptability, and a mindset for lifelong learning.
Because in a distributed workforce, your online conduct is often the only version of your professionalism that people will ever see.
Your text and the data you share become your entire professional avatar. Which leads us to the central reflection prompt for this deep dive.
Something for you to really mull over as you log back into your workspaces today.
Here it is. How can responsible online behavior improve trust, safety, and professionalism in your own digital environment?
It's such an important question. Every interaction is an opportunity to shape the environment.
You have the agency to decide whether you're adding to the noise or building the safe harbor.
Well said. We encourage you to stay curious, remain responsible, and keep preparing to be future ready.
Remember to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities. Putting this into practice is how you build the habit.
Before we go, we also want to acknowledge the reference materials that inspire the deeper concepts in today's lesson.
Yes, if you really want to understand the psychological and societal mechanics we touched on, there are three incredible books you should check out.
First is Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport, published in 2019. We also highly recommend Cyberpsychology by Mary Akin from 2016.
And finally, The Art of Invisibility by Kevin Mitnick, published in 2017. They are foundational texts for mastering this space.
They really are. Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. Stay curious, and we'll see you next time.